Amen. You can be seated. Our reading from the New Testament today is Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. And if you'd like to turn there, we'll read in just a moment. We have not been in the book of Acts maybe since the middle of November, so we're returning to our study of the Acts of the risen Lord, the ascended, risen and ascended Christ is building his church through the work of the apostles, through the work of the prophets, and then through the work of the pastors and the teachers. And so we pick up our study where Paul is on his second missionary journey. And so we'll read in just a moment, 16, 1 through 5. Before we read, though, let's ask for God's help. Lord, if we're not careful, we would be a people blind, a people deaf, and a people indifferent to your word. But we need your grace. We need your word to help us against the world and the flesh and the devil. So unstop our ears, open our eyes, soften our hearts that we might hear. We pray that we would have our marching orders from your word, from this passage. We pray it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in the numbers daily. Amen. This is God's word. If you watch some of those shows on television, nature shows, maybe Discovery Channel, public television, you'll find that there are some animals who very soon after, and in some cases, if not before, are abandoned by their mothers. Some of the examples would be bears. Bears have their offspring and move on. Now, snakes. Snakes lay their eggs. They move on, often never seeing their offspring. But then you come to the human species. It seems longer and longer our children are in our homes, and maybe those are for economic reasons, insurance reasons. Used to be maybe age 17, 18, sign up for the Army, go off to college, move on in life. I can remember my senior year of college, around January, my dad would number the checks that he sent. I got $100 a month in college. And in January and February and March and April and May, he was numbering down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0 until he says we got off the payroll. And then he hoped we might send money home, which hasn't happened yet. Or maybe to think of a little middle perspective, when you get a new puppy, you don't go to the pound or to the kennel and pick out the puppy and say, oh, what a cute little baby puppy. I'll take it straight home. No, it has to stay until it's about 12 or so weeks old. So these nature shows, our own experience with puppies and children and all the rest, give us a little insight into maybe the maternal instincts of the Apostle Paul. This was a man who loved the church of Jesus Christ. This was a man, if you'll remember, before his conversion, persecuted the church of Jesus Christ, but then met the risen and exalted Savior on the road to Damascus. And his concern, as he has completed a missionary journey and gone to Jerusalem for the church there to decide a problem that's among some of the churches, is to go back among the churches and to find out how they're doing and to strengthen them. So in the normal course of events in the life of the Apostle Paul, he would go on these missionary journeys, four of them. And he would make his way from city to city, town to town, and he would find a crowd and he would preach the gospel to them. And in some way, shape, or form, he would stay with them for a time, sometimes a week, sometimes many weeks or months, and in some cases, several years. But it was always his goal, it was always his maternal instinct, so to speak, to return to these churches and to check up on them and see how they were doing. So as the church, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is being built up, as the exalted Savior from the throne of glory is building his church through the apostles, who, if you'll remember, were eyewitnesses to the risen Christ, he's building his church through prophets, those who speak on his behalf. Barnabas, for example, is one of those named prophets. They're establishing the church of God through the ends of the earth, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. They are establishing these baby churches, giving them elders, giving them deacons, giving them pastors, bringing people into membership who will then go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Well, we remember, at least I hope we do, back to Antioch. Remember, there's two Antiochs. There's one near Jerusalem, and then there's one across the sea where Paul works both those congregations. But the one closer to Jerusalem is the church that has sent Paul out. And they send him out a second time on this missionary journey. After the Jerusalem Council, they tell him to go and to preach the gospel and to move on from place to place as God leads you in the providence of God. So they're going to go back and check up on these people, strengthen up the churches, firm up the churches. But remember, there was a dispute. There was a dispute between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. John Mark had abandoned them on a previous trip. And so he went on to Cyprus, the little island, with John Mark. But Paul takes Silas and goes on this second missionary journey. And his idea is this: let's go back to the churches, see how they're doing. Let's firm them up. Let's strengthen them. Let's establish them in the truth of God's word. And the first thing I think we ought to think about as we think of Paul's ministry, his maternal instincts to check up on these churches and to see how they're doing, is to remember the importance of the ministry of God's word. And we need to think about it in two ways: one for the church as a whole, but also for our own lives. So many of us have been sick with colds over these last couple of months. And so I bet if I walked in your house and looked at your kitchen counter, or maybe the little, what do they call that thing, the lazy Susan that spins around on the middle of the table, I bet we would find vitamin C, right? I bet we would find zinc. I bet we would find, maybe some of you have some elderberry. And then there you might have your prescriptions from the doctor also. What we are trying to do is strengthen our bodies. We're trying to fortify them from all the disease, all the airborne particles that get in our bodies and infect us and cause us to fall ill. And that's exactly what the church is meant to do for each of us through the ministry of the word. It's meant to strengthen us and build us up and firm us up in our faith. We have three enemies. Our confession of faith tells us that one of the reasons God has given the church his word is to establish us so that we can fight off the world and her influences, so we can fight off the devil and his temptations, so we can fight off the flesh or the remaining sin that is within each of us. And if we don't eat a steady diet of the word personally or as a church of Jesus Christ, it'll be like those of us who fail to take our vitamin C, our zinc, and our elderberry, and whatever else our doctors give us. Our immune systems will be weak. We'll fall ill, not with colds and sniffles and COVID, but we'll fall ill spiritually. And so let me encourage you for a moment. Let me challenge you. It's a new year, and maybe it's not too far into it where we've already messed up our resolutions. You know, the treadmill's already for sale on Craigslist. We did our Read the Bible plan, and we're just so far behind. I'll just wait till next year and start over. Because, you know, you got to read 73 chapters to get caught back up, and that's just demoralizing. No, we can get spiritually ill where the world and all that it offers seems to be attractive to us. That's a real spiritual danger. The flesh, our own sinful flesh, our heart is deceitful, can lead us down all kinds of paths. And the voice of Satan and his temptations can really rattle us and fall upon us. We need the ministry of the word as a church But we need it individually in our own lives. King David speaks of having hidden God's word in our hearts. The church needs the regular preaching and teaching of God's word to build her up. You think of maybe back in the 1980s when the cereal Wheaties was really popular and Michael Jordan would come on television. You have to explain who Michael Jordan is to some people these days. Michael Jordan would come on TV and say, "I eat my Wheaties. Do you eat your Wheaties?" You know, we need to be fortified. Maybe as Christians, we ought to say to one another, are we eating the word? Are we hearing it? Are we digesting it? Are we putting it into practice in our lives? You know, that's really the only spiritual diagnosis and solution in many cases that we need. We're either in the word or not. We're either in the world or not. We're either listening to the voice of Satan or Christ, or we're living by the flesh or by the spirit. And so God's word needs to be central in our lives. Just maybe as you have your vitamins on the counter, maybe that would be a good place to put your Bible, your devotional book, or where you sit and listen to your podcast and other things that fill your mind and your heart with the truth of God's word. I know this sounds very simple. I know it may sound maybe a little routine. Oh, the preacher's talking about me reading my Bible again. You can't live the Christian life without it. And so Paul is going to go through the churches and preach the gospel. He's going to strengthen them against the world and the flesh and the devil. And let me mention an example of why this is so important. The region that Paul and Silas are going through now is the region called Galatia. And one of the early books of the Apostle Paul, in fact, maybe his first letter, is the book to the Galatians. And remember what he has to say to them. He doesn't get to write to them a "Dear Churches of Galatia" letter. "It's so nice to hear y'all are doing well." No, in fact, the letter to the Galatians is his harsh letter. It's his fussing letter. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, you were running so well. Who has bewitched you? Who has taught you a false gospel?" And it is so quick, isn't it, that with all that's coming against us, the world and the devil and our own hearts, which are idol factories, we can quickly get sideways. We can get out of kilter with what God requires of us. What is our duty to God, our proper worship and obedience before God? And so it's a great example for us in the letter to the Galatians. It's important to have ministers and elders and a ministry of the word of God as a church, but also in each of our lives. And so Paul's goal is to go from church to church and to strengthen them. And you can imagine as he ministered from house to house among these people, as he ministered Sunday by Sunday, there were questions and answers. There were specific issues and maybe pastoral care given. It was a time, a stretch of hard work, establishing the church, comforting the church, reminding them of what's good and right and true. And thankfully, we have that week by week as we gather as God's people in his church. One of the things our passage tells us at the end in verse 5 is that the churches were strengthened in their faith and they increased in numbers. And so as we think about a ministry of the word, we also want to think about the effects of that ministry of the word. As we hear God's word and are strengthened in our faith, we increase in numbers. That ought to be encouraging to us. The Bible tells Adam and Eve to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth with Christian children. And then God tells the apostles before Christ ascends, go into all the world, preach the gospel, fill the church with Christians. And so one of the ways to be great evangelists, good missionaries, is to have a church that centers itself around the world. It's strengthened in its faith and it increases in numbers. And so a ministry of the word and a ministry among people is quite an important thing. Well, a third thing that we find in this passage, in addition to a ministry of the word In addition to a ministry of strengthening and increasing in numbers, we see that Paul and Silas go from church to church to tell them about the decision of the Jerusalem Council. Remember, as they administered among some of their churches, they were saying, well, all new Christians need to be circumcised. All new Christians need to follow these dietary laws or these Old Testament customs and practices. And so at the end of Paul's first missionary journey, he returns to Jerusalem, puts the problem before the council of the elders and the apostles. They pray about it. The Holy Spirit leads them to a decision. And that decision was abstain from immorality, abstain from things offered to idols. And no, you don't have to be circumcised. Other than that, have at it. And so they're to go back on the second missionary journey and tell of the Jerusalem Council's decision. And so day by day, as they're ministering in the church to people through the ministry of the word, they're saying to them, hey, no legalism. No man-made rules are to be imposed on you. You live by the word before the face of God, and he will be pleased with you. And so they're telling of this decision of the Jerusalem Council. Well, this leads us to something that's probably standing out before you. This is the next thing in the passage. There's this guy named Timothy. Timothy's a really good guy, and Paul wants to take him with him and Silas on the missionary journey. Well, his father's a Greek. His mother is a Hebrew, and his grandmother is a Hebrew. Well, typically in the Hebrew culture, you take the faith of your mother. And so as a Hebrew child, he should have been circumcised, but was not. And it's probably because, as historians tell us, this was an area heavily influenced by Roman and Greek thought. And so they followed the path of the father, which was to be a nominal, probably nothing. Well, as it happens, Paul runs into Timothy, realizes he's not circumcised, realizes his father's a Greek, and everybody in the region where he would like to take him knows it. And so the Jewish people that they minister to are going to say, wait a minute, who's this uncircumcised fellow? Now hit pause for a second. You've got going on in the back of your head, what's Paul doing? He's going from city to city, church to church, telling them of the Jerusalem Council's decision, which is new Christian converts don't have to be circumcised. So why is Paul going to circumcise Timothy? Well, let me tell you about his dilemma. His dilemma is this. If I don't circumcise Timothy, the Jews won't listen to him. If I do circumcise Timothy, they will hear the gospel. So it's not about religion. It's not about completing his faith. It's not about pleasing God by this outward sign. It's about completing his heritage. He's a Jewish kid, not circumcised. It's about completing his heritage so that when they go among a predominantly Jewish audience proclaiming Jesus, they won't put him out. Now you say, why did they go through all that? Well, fast forward, Paul's going to bump into Titus. And the Jews are going to demand someday that Titus, who is a Gentile, that he be circumcised. And Paul is going to say emphatically, no, not going to happen. And so it's an interesting case here where part of his ministry is to say, hey, the Jerusalem Council said no circumcision, but we're going to circumcise Timothy. That's what's going on here. But Timothy becomes of such great use to Paul. And think about Paul's ministry of establishing churches, visiting churches, strengthening churches, and the churches multiplying on the face of the earth for the glory of God. Timothy is going to be a great help. Timothy's going to serve at the church in Corinth. He's going to serve in the church at Thessalonica. And he's going to serve. Paul will leave him behind on occasion. And the last place we'll find Timothy is at the church of Ephesus. Paul will establish the church at Ephesus, and he will leave Timothy there behind to continue where he will pastor until John, one of the disciples, pastors it into his old age. But we read on in the letters to Timothy. We read on in other places in the Bible, little tidbits into the life of Timothy. Timothy's father probably had died by this point. And so Paul sort of adopts him as a spiritual son. In fact, if you read 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll see very tender language from Paul to Timothy. My true son in the faith, he says to him. And so as this missionary journey continues, not only is the word of God preached and the gospel made attractive to many, but the church is established and firmed up through the word. The churches increase in their faith, but they are multiplied in numbers, including faithful men like Timothy, who will carry on in the gospel ministry and be of great use to God and his kingdom. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we all have a verse that we know well. It's chapter 3, verse 16. We all know all scripture is breathed out by God, right? You could probably finish it, and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be fully furnished or equipped to do the work that God has given him. But what we often don't read are the verses before that. Paul tells Timothy, and therefore it's of great encouragement for us today, he tells him to continue on in the faith, continue to walk in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that first began in you through your mother Lois, or your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. His mom and his grandmother read the scriptures and taught him to know God and to love God and to walk with him. And that led at some point to a faith in Jesus Christ that began to be built up by the word. And then in turn, he began to be a builder up of the church of Jesus Christ. So as we think back to the beginning, we considered there are some animals in nature. They produce an egg or an offspring and quickly push it off into the wild. That is not the nature of our God. When he saves us from our sin and our trespasses, he brings us into union with Jesus Christ, and therefore also brings us into union with his church. And it's through the church where we are nurtured in our faith. In fact, there's the great statement of the theologians of old, without God as our father and the church as our mother, we're like strangers. We're like orphans. We're without a home. And so what a great blessing it is to be in union with Jesus Christ through faith in him, having received the forgiveness of sins, but also on this earth, having fellowship with the people of God through the ministry of the word and the encouragement of the faith. One of the things I always have to think through every Sunday is this: the word of God will convince and convert sinners if it's powerful and effective, and the word of God will comfort and build up saints. And that's the same ministry that's been going on for thousands of years now, convincing and converting sinners and comforting and building up the saints. And we thank our God for this heritage. Let's do pray together. Our Lord, we thank you that in your loving kindness and mercy, you have brought us out of darkness into your kingdom of light. You've adopted us into your family and given us all the heritage of the sons and daughters of faith. And you put us in a church to nurture and to guide us in all truth. And we pray that we would hear the voice of the shepherd, ignoring the voice of Satan, that we would follow your word and not the ways of the world. And Lord, with all our hearts, we pray that you would subdue in us, subdue our flesh in us, freeing us from the love of self, the love of the things that would destroy us, and put in each of us a stronger desire, a greater desire to love and serve and walk with you. We pray that you would nurture that in each of us by your word and spirit. Help us, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.